The Seven Last Words, written by Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, read by Richard Jameson. The sixth word. It is consummated. From all eternity, God willed to make man to the image of his eternal Son. After having painted the heavens with blue and the earth with green, God then made a garden, beautiful as only God knows how to make a garden beautiful, and in it placed man, made to conform to the image of God's Son. In some mysterious way, the revolt of Lucifer echoed to earth, and the image of God in man was blurred and ruined. The Heavenly Father, in his divine mercy, willed to restore man to his pristine glory. In order that the portrait might once more be true to the original, God willed to send to earth his divine Son, according to whose image man was made, that the earth might see once more the manner of man God wanted us to be. In the accomplishment of this task, only divine omnipotence could use the elements of defeat as the elements of victory. In the divine economy of redemption, the same three things which cooperated in our fall shared in our redemption. For the disobedient man, Adam, there was the obedient man, Christ. For the proud woman, Eve, there was the humble virgin, Mary. For the tree of the garden, there was the tree of the cross. The redemption was now completed. The work which his Father had given him to do was accomplished. We were bought and paid for. We were won in a battle fought not with five stones like those with which David slew Goliath, but with five wounds, hideous scars on hands and feet inside. In a battle fought not with armor glistening under a noonday sun, but with flesh hanging like purple rags under a darkened sky. In a battle where the cry was not, "Crush and kill," but "Father, forgive." In a battle fought not with spitting steel, but with dripping blood. In a battle in which he who slew the foe lost the day. Now the battle was over. For the last 3 hours he had been about his Father's business. The artist had put the last touch on his masterpiece, and with the joy of the strong he uttered the song of triumph. "It is finished." His work is finished, but is ours? It belongs to God to use that word, but not to us. The work of acquiring divine life for man is finished, but not the distribution. He has finished the task of filling the reservoir of Calvary's sacramental life, but the work of letting it flood our souls is not yet finished. He has finished the foundation. We must build upon it. He has finished the ark, opening his side with a spear and clothing himself in the garment of his precious blood, but we must enter the ark. He stands at the door and knocks, but the latch is on the inside, and only we can open it. He has enacted the consecration, but the communion depends upon us. And whether our work will ever be finished depends entirely on how we relive his life and become other Christs. For his Good Friday and his Passion avail us nothing unless we take up his cross and follow him. Sin is the great obstacle to the accomplishment of that task, for as long as there is sin in the world, Christ is crucified anew in our hearts. I saw the Son of God go by, crowned with a crown of thorn. "Was it not finished, Lord?" I said, "and all the anguish born?" He turned on me his awful eyes. "Hast thou not understood? Lo, every soul is Calvary, and every sin a rood." Dear Jesus, redemption is thy work. Atonement is mine. For atonement means at one ment with thy life, thy truth, and thy love. Thy work on the cross is finished, but my work is to take you down. For Whenever there is silence around me, by day or by night, I'm startled by a cry. It came down from the cross. The first time I heard it, I went out and searched and found a man in the throes of crucifixion, and I said, "I will take you down." And I tried to take the nails out of his feet, but he said, "Let them be, for I cannot be taken down until every man, every woman, and every child come together to take me down." And I said, "But I cannot bear your cry. What can I do?" And he said, "Go about the world. Tell everyone that you meet, there is a man on the cross." Thou art on the cross, but we must take thee down. Thou hast been hanging there long enough. Through thy apostle Paul, thou hast told us that those who are thine crucify their flesh and its concupiscences. My work, then, is not finished until I take thy place upon the cross. For unless there is a Good Friday in my life, there will never be an Easter Sunday. Unless there is a garment of a fool, there will never be the white robes of wisdom. Unless there is the crown of thorns, there will never be the glorified body. Unless there is the battle, there will never be the victory. Unless there is the thirst, there will never be the heavenly refreshment. Unless there is the cross, there will never be the empty tomb. Teach me, Jesus, to finish this task, for it is fitting that the sons of men should suffer and enter into their glory.